Amen. The great thing about on, never mind. Welcome online. We love you. Jesus, help me. Jesus, I'll be honest with you. I had to repent about online. Because online, I don't like online. I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the platforms. All right? It's not my thing. But it's God's thing. God is in it. And I want to welcome you online. Thanks for joining us. God bless you. You came right in at the perfect time. Amen. God's got blessing for each and every one of you. Amen? Hey, you guys here, okay? This is interactive. All right? Interactive service. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, we got one. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. You say, well, it's so somber. You just had an altar call. That's joy. An altar call is a place of freedom. It's a place of coming to the feet of Jesus and accepting and receiving all that God has for you. Amen. There's healing in an altar call. And for you religious people that think altar calls should be at the end, I'm sorry. Sorry. Not here. Talk to the Lord about it. That's between you and Him. Amen. I can go a million different ways here, but we are going to go to Philippians 4:15. As we receive the offering this morning, some may say, well, why do you start off with an offering? Because that's what the Lord told me to do. Amen. Amen. Philippians 4:15. And this is why we minister on offerings and tithes here at New Freedom Church. Is because there's hundreds, thousands of scriptures about promise, blessing, rewards, those things. And the Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. And when we understand that, we have to talk about it for faith to even to operate. Yeah. And for when faith operates, it pleases God, Hebrews 11:6. Yeah. So we talk about giving, we talk about receiving, because the Bible is full of it. Yeah. It's sowing and reaping. It's actually a divine law from heaven to sow and reap. Amen. And when you understand it, you'll realize that it has to be talked about, because if you do not understand it, then you cannot partake of it. So if nobody talked to you about the law of gravity, you may do things you ought not to do. Right? Let me just be honest about this. If something is a law by God, it's a definite. It is a constant. It does not change. And when you understand a constant with God and you walk in that, then you receive the blessing of that law. Amen. But if you don't know about the law, then you don't partake of the blessing of it. If a child does not know, gets his license, does not know what a stop sign is, that's a law that is in place. And when you don't follow it, there's problems. I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. But people take finances in the church and in Scripture and get weird about it. It's not weird. It's not weird at all. God wants to bless you. So I want God to bless you. So I'm going to take some time so God can bless you. Amen. Amen. And that's what this is about. Philippians 4, verse 15. This is Paul speaking. He says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. I brought that up because Paul's saying none of the churches were an understanding about giving and receiving except for you. Well, I want to be like Paul at New Freedom. I want you to understand that giving and receiving is part of the gospel. Yeah. Amen. It's not weird. Money is a tool that God has given us to store and to use. Amen. And the more you understand how to use it the way God wants you to, the more things you can fix and use it with. Amen. It's just like a tool. All you men out there, all the men raise their hand. All right, good. Hey, that's a good thing. Amen. All you men out there, understand, you may have a toolbox. You may have, the more you understand what that is used for, the more efficient you can use it. Make sense? The flathead screwdriver is not a chisel, it's not a pry bar. But when you use it for that and you break it and you're like, man, this is a piece of junk. You used it for the wrong thing. All you men understand what I'm talking about. When you buy the small tractor and you try to bulldoze the woods, it's not fit for that. Everybody, you're laughing because you, all the women are like, keep preaching, brother. You're hitting something here. You think beyond what it's intended for. Right? We all do it. We all do it. When you know what finances and what God's intent for your finances are, tithes and offerings are right there at the top. And then God can take the rest of what you have and multiply it like the loaves and the fishes to meet every need that you have. Yes. Amen. You got business? I'm telling you, when you give to the Lord, He'll bless your business. Amen. He'll bless your. He'll even bless the business that you don't own just because you're full of light and you work there. Your work area will be blessed because you're a child of God. Amen. When the person in the next cubicle or next station is struggling every day. And you're walking in the blessing because God is your source. You understand? This is how this works. This is why we talk about it. Malachi 3, last book in the Old Testament. Malachi 3, verse 8. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. See, it would be a disservice if I never talked about this, because you may be robbing God and not even know it. And then you have the curse on you and you don't even know it. How bad would that be? That would be unloving if I just allowed you to believe a lie about tithes and offerings and never share about it, and that your whole life you lived under the curse. What kind of love is that? That's why it's good to be truthful about things, be black and white, and be upfront. I am not going to run from tithes and offerings just because some people are like, you want my money. I don't want your money. God doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. And when He has your heart, He has you. Amen. When you get married and you give your heart to your spouse, you give everything to them. You cut covenant with them. Everything that is yours becomes theirs, and everything that is theirs becomes yours. People don't even understand that now. Anyway, I won't get into a marriage seminar today. But will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. So there's a way to rob God. I don't recommend you do it. All right? You're messing with someone bigger and more powerful than you. You are cursed with a curse. This is the response of robbing God. Let's be honest about this. It is so quiet in here. You are not cursed because you guys tithe and give. Amen. We have a very giving church. It's very blessed. You are cursed with a curse. You know why we're blessed? Because we tithe. If you're new to the church, New Freedom tithes. The church tithes to ministries and churches. Yeah. So not only tithes from the people come in, 10% of everything that comes in goes directly out. Yes. We tithe here.
Woo.
Building. Yes. All this is happening. During COVID, everybody's shutting down. We're building the building.
Yes.
And we're tithing. 10% is going out. Why are we blessed? Because we're being obedient.
Yes.
We're not under the curse. We're not shutting down. We're not stopping. Amen. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Do you know the only place we're supposed to try God is right there?
Yeah.
Don't test God in any area, but test Him in this.
Yeah.
He says, try me. He's like, I dare you to try to outgive me. That's what He's saying. I know this may sound shocking to you, but that's what He's saying.
Amen.
He's saying, try me now in this. I guarantee you that if you give what I tell you to give, I am going to abundantly pour out more than you can handle.
Hallelujah.
Watch this.
Amen.
Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Who wants a blessing that they can't even contain? Hallelujah. Amen. How do you get there? You're a tither.
Amen.
You're a tither. Don't rob God. What you're doing is you're setting yourself up for a huge blessing.
Amen.
It doesn't even stop there. Let's keep reading. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Who's the one that rebukes the devourer? The Lord of hosts. God himself will rebuke anything that is trying to disrupt your financial flow. In the blessing of your business. In the blessing of your family. Come on, this is what a tithe does. People don't want to talk about this and they get caught up in their flesh about, oh, that's 10%. I need that for bills. Your bills will be taken care of when you tithe. I'm not saying it because the church is going to write you a check, bring your bills to the church, and we're going to cut you. It's not that. God is going to take care of you.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
So it says, I will pour out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. The ability for God to rebuke the devourer in your life is based off your faithfulness to give to him.
Amen.
He cannot rebuke the devourer when you're not obedient to sow. And to give.
Yes.
Notice that.
Yes.
So that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit. For you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. I'm telling you, the church is in a place where the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I do not care one iota about the fuel prices or what's going on in society. Because the Bible says he's going to rebuke the devourer and we'll have everything that we have need of.
Yes.
Amen. End of story. Because God cannot lie.
Yes.
He cannot lie. So if the Bible says that we tithe, he's going to pour out a blessing that we can't even contain. And he's going to rebuke the one that's going to try to steal it from. What do we have to worry about? 10%. To God, we'll take care of your taxes, we'll take care of your bills, we'll take care of every single need you have, and more.
Yes, amen.
Amen. If he pours out a blessing more than you can handle, that means it's way more than just your needs are going to be met.
Yeah.
Amen. Because your needs are what you can handle.
Mm-hmm.
So if he pours out more than what you can handle, things you desire and want, he'll meet those too.
Amen.
Come on, there's testimony after testimony.
Yeah.
Of where the God has moved.
Yes.
Upon those that are givers.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not sharing this to pull money out of you. It's not that at all. It really isn't that at all. God's going to do his thing no matter what. It's whether he does it through you or not. That's where the rubber meets the road. Do you want to be used by God? Do you want this Bible to work for you in the financial realm? Tithing.
Yes.
That's where it's at. And the reason that everything we do here is blessed and we're in financial, everything's great financially. We're believing for ground.
Yes.
We're believing for a building, bigger. Amen? Because we're growing.
Yes.
We're going to be debt-free. Amen. All these things. Why? Because God's word is true.
Amen.
Amen. So if you have a business, your family, you're part of something, you spend money. Amen. Tithing. Tithing is what's going to keep protection upon your house. Protection upon your business and your family in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Ushers, if you want to come forward. I know listening online, there's different ways to give. Hold on, ushers, don't serve the people yet. Just smile at the camera. Amen. Amen. There's offering envelopes in front. You can write a check, or there's ways to give up here online. I better read those. newfreedom-church.com/give. You can text 866-863-1948 or Venmo at NFC Give. It's all online. You can follow that. You say, why is there so many ways? People give different ways.
Yeah.
Amen. We make it the easiest way possible, less stressful. Amen. God wants to bless you. What's that? The offering envelopes, do not seal them. They are like cement. Please don't seal them. Just rip it off or leave the sticker on it. Amen. God is good. Thanks for that.
Amen.
God is good. Are you ready to give?
Amen.
Amen. Usher, serve the people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm ready for testimonies. I am so ready for testimonies of financial overflow in people's lives. Amen. There, you cannot stop, the enemy cannot stop the church from being blessed. Amen. There's nothing the enemy can do to stop God from moving in your life. Not one thing. The enemy cannot block your blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, where am I going to go with this? Amen. Thank you, guys. God is so good. Well, we release our faith in this. If you can bow your heads, agree with us together. Because we're believing for great things. Amen. And it's not just not material things. We're ready to reach souls. We soul win every single week here. We have soul winners that go out individually. But we have teams that go out. We have an outreach team going after souls. We minister people around the world. Watch what's going on at New Freedom. Touching lives all around the world. Father, I thank you that your heartbeat is souls. And we've got a hold of that, Lord. Thank you for that. Father, we lift up these tithes and this offering to you, Lord God. We thank you in advance. Just like the loaves and the fishes, you're going to supernaturally bring provision. Supernaturally, you'll give seed to the sower. Father, I thank you. Your word says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Many, many things are going to take place through the faithfulness of your saints that sow and give of tithes and offerings. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in your people. And we're expecting a supernatural increase. Do a quick work, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, moving on. If you could turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. But before I get there, I want to share with you, I feel to pray as we get started in the actual, this part of the service. We have like 50 parts of the service. Father, I thank you. I thank you for each and everyone listening online. I thank you for those that are here in person, Lord God. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost and power. I thank you for the power of the Word of God. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Lord, I thank you that your word is like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces. Any hard place in believers' lives here today, Father God, those listening online or here present, anything hard shall be broken now in Jesus' name by the power of the word of God. In Jesus' name, I thank you that faith comes alive as those that are listening hear the word of God and allow it to go deep on the inside and be rooted and grounded in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, prayer opens a door for the blessing of God. Hallelujah. So today's message is a life worth living. Amen. Who wants a life worth living? Hey, praise God. Most of you want to. Yes, everybody wants a life worth living, but few know how to understand and operate in the place of abundant life and a life worth living. Amen? Because everything is against, hear me out, everything in this world and system is against you having a life worth living. I'm just telling you, if you don't know it, the government does not want you to have a life worth living. They'll tell you they do. But what they implement does not show the fruit of that. I'm just telling you, the systems of this world are corrupt because of sin. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need a Lord. And I'm going to share with you today that you're going to have a life worth living. I'm not talking about just life. You're going to have abundant life. And I'm going to prove to you through the Word of God that you can have an abundant life. Amen. Because God says you can. And if God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. I don't have to question God. There's times I question myself because I don't understand what God's trying to say. But I never question God. Never, never, never. John 10:10, you don't have to turn there, but it says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and life more abundance, or life in abundance. Amen? So we see here in this scripture that there's a life and then there's an abundant life. And then there's an enemy that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy it. So that's light and darkness, okay? Christianity 101, you have to understand that there is an adversary. There is an enemy. But you also have to understand that Jesus defeated him 2,000 years ago. So just give him a good old kick and say, devil, you have no place in my house or in my family because Jesus bought and paid for my victory 2,000 years ago. Thank you very much. See you later. And when you understand your authority in Christ, you start stepping into not only life, but abundant life. Amen. But that doesn't mean the enemy's going to stop knocking at your door. You just got to tell him where to go. Submit to God. Resist the enemy and he shall flee. Yeah. What's the key? Submitting to God. Yeah. When you submit your life to God, when you submit your finances to God, amen. The enemy cannot devour anything. He can't steal a penny from you. Hear me. People want to say, well, No. He's having nothing of mine. Absolutely zero. He might as well go on to the next person, the next family, and I'll pray over them and I'll plead protection. But each individual has to know their authority to live an abundant life. And to understand abundant life, it's abundant life really is, this is what the word means, over and above some number, measure, or rank. Abundant life has very little to do with finances. Very little. Very little to do with numbers, number of houses, number of cars. That's not abundant life at all, what Scripture's talking about. That's a byproduct of it. But when you get into the things of God and the kingdom of God, he's not about number, measure, or rank. It's not about raising the corporate ladder causes abundant life. It's none of that. Abundant life is this, spiritual freedom. Spiritual freedom sets you in the place of abundant life. It just so happens when you're spiritually set free, the financial things and everything else that you're believing for starts happening. Yeah. Amen? Because your thoughts and your heart get directed in a different direction. Yeah. All right? So life, everybody has life, but not everybody has abundant life. Yeah. So we need to answer why that is. Because I want each and every one of you and those listening online to walk in abundance, to walk in freedom. Amen. And him who the Son sets free is free indeed. So the way to get to abundant life is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Amen. And you have to understand that. You have to grasp this concept that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and life more abundant. So living and breathing on this earth is life. And God gave each of us life. You're here today because God has blessed you and graced you to still be here on this earth. That's life. But abundant life is walking in the true freedom that Christ died for. Amen? Well, one of you believes that. Praise God. So abundant life is not measured in this life. Abundant life is eternal rewards. It's free from sin and judgment. It's not a false hope, but an anchor of the soul, hope, and a future. That pulls you over into a place of abundant life. Amen? A life worth living. When I found the Lord delivered me from the spirit of fear. I was not walking in abundant life. I was living in fear. Fear is not abundant life. Fear, worry, and anxiety is not abundant life. Hear me, church. You need to see this. You need to understand this. You may be saying to yourself, well, I'm not seeing this. Is this really true? Maybe for you, but not for me. I know this sounds sharp, but your life is what you make it. And I say that because I thought I knew what life was all about. I worked hard. I obeyed the law. I did what I was supposed to do. But I was living in what life called abundance, what the world may call abundance. But I was bound on the inside. I was broken on the inside. I was hurting on the inside. And I didn't understand why. Because I was dotting the I's and crossing the T's the best I knew how. the best I knew how. But somehow it wasn't good enough because I wasn't spiritually free. I was spiritually bound. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He had me. He had my soul. He had my spirit. But in my flesh, I was doing the best I knew to do. Comparing myself to others, I was doing pretty good. But that's not God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. You know, grace is favor, unearned favor, but it's also power. So the power of favor and the peace of God be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. So the power of favor and peace comes through what? The knowledge of God. Notice this. We're trying to work something out in our flesh to get to a place of abundant life. And all we need to do is receive Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that stuff starts operating instantly. Instantly. Some of you young people have felt the very presence of God, and you've been coming to church for a very short time. Why is that? Because the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit is working, and you're yielding to it. You're yielding to it. Grace and peace be multiplied. So you can receive your salvation, but to have multiplication, you have to continue in it. You have to continue. The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Notice something here. There's a way of doing things, and there's a way of not doing things. There's a way of receiving God's provision, His grace, and His blessing, and there's a way of not receiving it. And so often people struggle with this because they want to have it one way, but not accept the way God's way of doing it. They want to work it out themselves or have it fit into their realm. And you can't do that with God. It's either God's way or no way. And it becomes a blessing and grace and favor and joy and peace and love and just a community of believers loving each other like a new freedom. Or it can be a struggle and a burden and frustrating and hard and difficult and burdensome all every day of your life. Sweating it out every day. Or you can walk in the peace of God every day. Amen. But it's through Jesus. It's nothing. I didn't change anything of me physically or mentally. I just made a decision that I can't do it the way I'm doing it. I'm going to accept Jesus and do it His way. And all it has been in my life is yielding to that first love. Yielding to Him and allowing Him to do these things. Some of you may not know it. I hated talking in front of people. Like sweat. Fear, everything, anxiety came all over. I couldn't talk to people at all. But all that's changed. All that has changed. Why? Because of yielding to Jesus. Amen. And that's what's caused the life that I have now, the marriage that I have now, the children that are serving the Lord now. I didn't know how to do all that. God surely knew I didn't know how to do all that. And it was a struggle. And there's times when I'm in my flesh that it's difficult to communicate with my wife because I'm in the flesh. But when I yield to God, it's a whole lot different. Even now, even like today, tomorrow, even in the moment, you still have to be able to yield to God and allow Him to do the work in you. Amen. But notice it says in verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Yielding to God is giving you a life worth living, an abundant life that you can experience God's divine nature. What is that? What does that look like? I didn't write notes on this, so I'm asking that question at the same time saying, Lord, explain to me what it is so I can share with the people. But it's His divine, it's His personality, it's His attributes, it's the way that He operates. You start operating on a spiritual level instead of just physical. Instead of just a religion, you have a relationship where He divinely imparts to you how to do things. Decisions you make. Well, this isn't a good decision. Oh, I have a check about this. Maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe I shouldn't buy this car right now. Maybe there's something wrong with it or they're ripping me off. Surely a salesman's not going to tell you that he's ripping you off. But God loves you enough to tell you.
Amen.
Amen. God, you can have a friend or you thought was a friend that'll tell you something. And you believe them, but all of a sudden it's not working out like they said it was going to work out. But something on the inside's telling you different.
Yeah.
Give a little space there.
Yep.
Maybe you need to set up some boundaries. Maybe you need to be a little bit farther away than I thought you should be. That's the Spirit of God. That's His divine nature protecting you,
yeah.
Watching over you. Amen. If you have a business, I'm telling you, discernment by the Spirit of God is key to a successful business. He'll send people across your path that'll work with you, that'll bless you, that'll believe in what you're doing, and He'll rebel and keep away the people that are conniving or wanting a piece of it without doing anything.
Yeah.
Come on. Hear me out. People want to invest in things. There's people that want to invest in you. There's people that want to invest in me. They want to invest in new freedom in the kingdom of God. But if their hands aren't clean, I don't want that. If someone comes to me and says, well, I want to tithe to your church, but I go to this church. No, you don't. You're not tithing here. You're not going to give money here if you have your own church. Because that's not the will of God. You tithe to your storehouse where you get fed.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Most people won't talk about this. I do not want a cent from you as far as the tithe goes if you go to another church. You can give offering here. That's wonderful. But don't give your tithe here. Amen. Because if you do it God's way, God's going to do it His way and it's going to be blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It goes in every area. I'm talking about a life worth living. When you understand how much God wants to impart and infiltrate and work in and through your life, in your marriage, in your family, through your children, through your business and fine. He wants all of you, church. He wants every last bit of you because He wants to bless and honor and give you a life in abundance.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I wasn't receiving abundant life because I was doing it my way. Until I realized it's not about my plans or my life, it's about what He wants to do. And the quicker I submitted myself to what He wanted to do instead of what I wanted to do, the increase came that much faster. 1 John 5, a couple pages over. I was wanting to share on this a couple weeks ago. But I'm going to give you the key that's going to unlock abundant life. You say, wow, is it that easy? Yeah, it's that easy. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. 1 John 5, chapter 1. Excuse me, 1 John 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. I know that sounds confusing. Let me read it out of the New Living Translation. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. So what is that saying? That's saying everyone who believes that Jesus is Christ, you become a child of God when you accept Jesus. And when you accept Jesus and you love God, you love all His children too. Okay, that's what that's saying. It's not just about you and what you can get from God. When the heart of God comes on you, you have the heart of God for others.
Amen.
Compassion for you turns into compassion for others.
Amen.
Amen. That's what that's saying. And that's a fruit of the believer. So I don't know why it's such a sticky situation when people that say they love Jesus and they hate their neighbor, or they hate the person that sat in their seat at church that Sunday when that's their seat. That's not the Bible.
Yeah.
Why is there judgment in the body of Christ? Flesh?
Yeah.
Sin in your life causes you to judge your neighbor. Causes you to get offended when somebody says something. It's your flesh. It's your unrenewed mind. It's your stinking thinking. Amen. But when you have the love of God, you'll give your seat for somebody else. The person that comes in, the town drunk that comes in, you'll be, come on down here, buddy. Sit right here. God's got something really good for you. I want you to sit next to me. They may stink. Nobody likes them. Everybody talks about them. But guess what the believer should do? Love your enemy. Come on right down here. God's got something for you today. It's a sign of a believer. If a believer cannot love people, especially their own, in the household of faith, my goodness, something's wrong. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. What are they? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Love thy neighbor as yourself. Amen. The reason people cannot love their neighbor is they got something going on themselves. Nobody wants to hear that. But the man that gets angry at his wife is the man that's got something going on the inside. Carry on, Pastor. Yes, yes, I will. Okay. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. It's not hard to love people when you know how much God loves you and forgave you. If God forgave you from all of your sin, it's easy to forgive everybody else. Amen. Good stuff. Here we go. This is the key, verse 4. For whatever is born of God, who's born of God? Every single believer is born of God. Here we go. Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So what overcomes the world? Your faith. So if you're not overcoming, it's because our faith is not in the right direction. I know this sounds very hard to kind of swallow sometimes, but it's really that simple. Your belief system is what's going to get you all of heaven or not. But it starts with believing on Jesus Christ. And when you believe on Jesus Christ, the love of God floods your soul and you have relationship with Him and you realize that He becomes your life. Your life is not your own. You were bought with a price. And that price was the blood of Jesus. And when you realize that and apply that to your life, everything that He got dominion over and defeated becomes yours. Because you're a half-brother or a half-sister to Jesus. Because the same Holy Spirit that was conceived in Mary's womb to produce Jesus in the flesh is the same Holy Spirit that was conceived in you for you to accept Jesus as your Lord. Same Holy Ghost. So Jesus is your half-brother. Amen. People are like, oh my God. He's God. How can He be my... He was born in the flesh. And you're born twice. You can be born in the flesh, and then you're born of the Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit. I know this is contrary to a lot of people. I see some faces like, did he just say that? Yeah. Yeah, Jesus is your half-brother. Amen. If you're born again, Jesus is your half-brother. And God's your Father.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. That didn't fly like I thought it would. New Living Translation, verse 4, 1 John 5. For every child of God defeats this evil world. Every single one of you can defeat this evil world. How? By believing in Jesus. You defeat the works of darkness. A life worth living is a life following God. And the whole world is chasing money, fame, fortune, and they're getting burnout and dying committing suicide, addictions, all these things are trying to supplement to get the fulfillment of what God has already done through His Son. Yes. It's that easy. The gospel is so simple. Trust in Him, the one that was sent for you. True abundant life is spiritual freedom. The ability to defeat all of the world. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. What is the first thing you did as a child of God? You accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. That transitioned you from death to life. Amen. You went from darkness to light. You went from going to hell to going to heaven based off of faith, trusting in Jesus Christ. Yeah. And it doesn't change after that, church. Mm-hmm. The mustard seed faith that got you saved is the same faith that's going to carry you till Jesus comes back.
Amen.
You're not seeing it. Mustard seed faith. You already did all that you needed to do when you believed on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The ability to get the victory over all of the world is what you already did by accepting Jesus as Lord. You just got to trust Him in every other area. You just got to say, Jesus, You're my Savior. You're my Lord. You're watching over me. You're my protector. You're my healer. You're my all in all. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my protector. You're my provision. You're my love. All those things. You keep producing that and you walk in victory every day. I don't know why people teach that you got to go through this, this, and this to get to paradise or get to heaven. All you need to do is believe in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm not saying you're not going to have trials and struggles. I get that. But they're not going to keep you from heaven. And they're not going to keep you from abundant life, because the abundant life lives in you. As long as you're breathing, you're in abundance. Whether you know it or not. Every single one of you is in abundance. The enemy cannot snatch you out of the Maker's hands unless you believe He can. Unless you believe He can. For every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. So the battle's already won. We just walk in the freedom by walking by faith.
Yes.
We walk by faith, not by sight. So don't base it off of what you see. If you base your life off of what you see, you're only going to produce what you see. You limit yourself. Right there, you shoot yourself right in the foot. Starting a business, restaurant, things like that. What is God speaking to you to do? Do what He says to do, and everything else will take care of. If the bank says, nope, I'm not giving you a loan, God says, that's all right. I own cattle on 1,000 hills. I'll bring it another way.
Amen.
You won't even have to use a bank in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to use the system if you don't want to. Right?
Amen.
Amen. If I believe in Jesus Christ as my healer and my protector, that's where I'm going. That's plan A for me.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to Jesus for my healing.
Yes.
I'm not against doctors and medicine. I'm not against it. But that's not my number one.
Yes.
My number one is Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. And when you say that, you don't have to get concerned about what's happening and the shakings that are going on and the World Economic Forum and all these things. And, oh, there's 3 strains of this coming. Get ready. We're going to have another mask up. I could care less. God is... God. I can't even speak. My golly. They want to control you. Yeah, you heard it. They want to control you. They want you to shut your mouth, mask up so much you can't even worship God. Or you can't go visit your neighbor that you're supposed to pray for and love on. Or you can't assemble together. When God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as you see the day approaching. Come on, church. We're living in abundance. We have revival in us. I don't need to hear ups and downs on what the government's doing, what Russia's doing, what's China. I don't care, because when Jesus comes back, He's flattening all of that. I don't care how many lasers are out there. He's going to jam them all up. They will have zero power. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth that I'm going to be skipping around with all my other brothers and sisters in the Lord, worshiping Jesus, dancing, and there's no sin, so you can't make fun of how I dance or how I sing. Because I don't really care. And if somebody wants to come in and shoot me, I don't really care.
Come on.
You want to know why? Because I'm already dead.
Hallelujah.
I'm already dead to Him. Amen. He is who I am.
Hallelujah.
I'm not of this world. So I don't have to listen to what the world's going through. The only reason I listen to it is because I have compassion for people. Yeah. The only reason I listen to the news is a prayer point. Say, Lord, you see what's going on. Let's see what you're going to do about it. Amen. I'm believing in you. Amen. I'm not naive to what's going on, but there's a whole lot of good news out there that's not being portrayed. So majority of what I'm hearing is about what revivals are taking place, how people in Africa are getting saved by the hundreds of thousands, by millions coming into the... I'm not listening. I just listen just enough to hear about what's going on. I don't even read the whole story. Because I don't really care. Because what if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word? So if you flip that, fear comes by hearing and hearing by the world.
Come on. That's it.
Take that. Yeah. Use that. Amen. That's by the Spirit of God. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by this word, this is what I want to listen to. And many people are like, why do you talk about God so much? Because that's my dad.
Come on.
That's who I live by. That's who I receive by. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Why do you sing about happy, joyful songs all the time? Because that's what I want to live in. If I want the depressing songs and I want to live in depression, that's what I'll listen to. That's why God delivered me from country music. My wife isn't going to leave me. My dog's not going to die. And my truck's not going to blow up. I don't want that in my life. I'm not against country music, and if you listen to it, whatever. I'm just sharing from my personal conviction.
Yeah.
I want to hear what I want to live. My future, I determine in my heart, I want what God wants for me for my future and all the promises of it. And people say, well, you talk about offering too much. No, because I know that's where the blessing is. Amen. God will supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. So I'm going to sow into the richest person out there. Amen.
Yep.
And He's going to watch over and take care of me. See, that's what people, we're getting over. I feel it. Finally, it broke in this place.
Yeah.
Amen. Love you guys. But something was heavy and it's gone now. Amen.
Amen.
Because the anointing breaks the yoke.
Yes.
Amen. And when you start believing and faith says, oh, that can happen for me. All of a sudden, the atmosphere lifts. It's like the lights aren't even working now. It's like there's a glow in here that's not by the power of this world. It's faith that's rising up, that's causing the glory of God to reveal Himself to people.
Amen.
That's freedom.
That's, right.
That's abundant life. Amen. People are like, man, how can a church be like this in Sudlersville, in the boonies? You know, we were the first one to get fiber optics in the county of Queen Anne's County. Talk about the favor of God.
Amen.
And I'm talking, we're out there. Amen. You may not know where we're at, but the back 40 is generous. Amen. But we are the first ones to get fiber optic. The blessing of God. God has words coming out of my mouth, ministers here, your guys' mouth, that we're doing something in Sudlersville. People need to know that Sudlersville loves Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And so I don't care about how big the town is. I don't care if the next town is small. Doesn't matter to me. There's people here, and that's what matters.
Amen.
You matter to God.
Amen.
Sullersville matters to God.
Hallelujah.
Roosburg, Ingleside, Millington, Solid Church, all of them. They matter to God because people are there.
Amen.
Wherever people are, God is concerned and has a desire to give them life and life more abundant.
Amen.
Amen. And I don't see people look at abundant life as numbers. Oh, well, the pastor, that you have a great church because you have 5,000 people. That means nothing to God. God looks at the heart of things.
Yeah, right.
If the Lord has called somebody to have a church that big and to do that, and they're faithful to do it, they're going to get blessed. That's where it's at. But the number of people do not dictate God being there or not being there. Amen.
Amen.
and your life isn't dictated whether you have $1 million in your bank account or not. It's not that. Abundant life is not in numbers. Abundant life is in a freedom that you can walk every day knowing that you got the victory.
Amen.
You got the victory over sin, hell, and the grave.
Right.
It has no hold on you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's the freedom. Why do we call it new freedom? Because that's what the Lord gave us. To bring freedom to this area.
Yes.
Amen. And every single one of you can walk in divine freedom every day of your life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, that every child of God defeats this evil world. Amen. You got the victory. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, God deals with all those areas. Amen. I know there's a lot of stuff you listen to. I said it last week. There's so much medication out there. We're the biggest pill popping country out there. That's a problem. That's a problem. We're obese. We're stressed out. We feel like we work all the time. And inflation and tax, and you just pile it on. And you're thinking to yourself, what in the world are we doing? Our debt in this system is ridiculous. And you think, what in the world are they thinking? And it's all digital. It's all on computer.
Yeah.
Let's print a little more money. They can't back up anything. We're in debt to everybody, every other country. Huh. Think about that. Try not to think on it too long, because it'll depress you. It'll depress you. But we're not on this system. What does the Bible say? It says... I'm paraphrasing because I lost my train of thought. It says, don't put your money... Somebody help me quote it about moth and rust and robbers break in and steal. Lay up treasures in heaven where moth, rust, and robbers cannot break in and steal. That's what tithes and offering does. It places your money in a place that man can't touch and that God can bless.
Yes.
Amen. Abundant life. Are you getting anything out of this?
Amen.
Amen. Matthew 16, verse 7. Matthew 16, verse 7. I got to give you more scripture because scripture is what does the work. Amen. Matthew 16, 7. Excuse me. Matthew 16, verse 17. It says, and Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Who is in heaven? What is he talking about? Peter just said, you're the rock, is what he's saying. You're not just a prophet. You're not just some man. You are the Son of the living God. Okay? So Jesus is explaining to him in verse 17, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So right there you realize that being part of the church, hell has no power over you. It can't prevail against you. Amen. Verse 19, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So what is that meaning? The keys of the kingdom represent authority. They represent authority. And when you start operating in the blessing of God, in the provision of God, and your faith is released into that, keys are released to you. And you start walking into places that you haven't walked in before. And you start receiving blessing in places you've never been blessed before. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Why did he get the keys? Because he understood who Jesus Christ was. When you understand Jesus, you open the door to authority and power that you've never experienced and will never experience only through Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's just one scripture I wanted to share with you there. John 16, 33. John 16, 33. We may go up a scripture or two, but we're going to be close to that. John 16, verse 33. I want you to see here, the life worth living is tied around faith. Your faith in Jesus Christ is the avenue for abundant life. John 16, verse 33. I'm going to start in 31. It probably won't be up there, but that's fine. Jesus answered and said, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Jesus is explaining to them that his soon coming exit of the earth is coming to pass. And the disciples are going to be scattered, and they're going to go and have to do. He's not going to be with them any longer. But he's sharing that no matter where he goes, the Father's with him. And no matter where they go, the Father is with you. Amen? So when you leave here today, don't look at abundant life any different. God's with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But notice here, verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So the one that overcame the world lives in you. So that automatically makes you what? An overcomer. Instantly. Automatically through Christ you're an overcomer. So did it say if I go to church 300 days out of the year I'm an overcomer? If I read 5 chapters a day I'm an overcomer. If I buy 5 translations of the Bible, I'm an overcomer. If I park close to the church, I'm an overcomer. If I sit on the front row, I'm an overcomer. None of that. Nothing that man has. If I wear a tie, then I'm an overcomer. I'm more spiritual. No. What does it say? "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." In me you may have peace. What's the key to abundant life? In him. Be in Jesus all the days of your life. You don't have to worry a day in your life. You can sleep at night. Amen. Business decisions, you give them to God. He'll show you how to get through it. He'll give you favor when the other people don't have favor. Your credit score may be lower than the other person, but somehow you'll get the credit. You'll get the loan. You'll get the thing that you have need of. In me, you may have peace. In the world, that word tribulation there is pressure. Affliction, anguish, burdens, persecution, and trouble. Tribulation is not sin, sickness, or disease. I want you to hear this. Tribulation is pressure. It's not sickness. It's not disease. God wants you to walk in divine healing. He wants you to be whole all the days of your life. The struggle and the stress, the trial or the sorrow is not sickness that Paul or Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about pressures of sin that are around you. The pressure of living in this world. Notice something. It does not say to carry sin or sickness. To feel or the opportunity to accept. What it's saying is you will experience the effects of a fallen world. All right? So you're not, when you walk out that door, you're going to feel the effects of the world. Somebody's going to cut you off on the way home. I'm not prophesying that. I'm just saying it could happen. All right? It could happen. A deer could run out in front of you. It could happen. I'm just saying there's things that happen that pressure you to bring what the enemy said in John, or what the Lord said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what sin does. That's what this fallen nature does. It's trying to steal your joy. It's trying to steal your peace. It's trying to steal your salvation. He's trying to steal the word in you that was spoken today. You got to stand in the place that God has for you. Amen. Stand in that place that he has for you. We will have tribulation. There will be pressure. But he says, but be of good cheer. New Living Translation says, but take heart because I have overcome the world. So the pressure is on the outside, but the glory is on the inside. And when you pull on the glory instead of focusing on the pressure, you get victory over the pressure. You see how that operates. Look inward of the well of living water on the inside, the river of life on the inside. So when the situation comes, you're not looking at the situation, you're applying your faith in Jesus Christ to overcome the situation. So instead of trying to fight flesh on flesh, or war flesh on flesh, or money on money, say, you know what, Lord? I'm a tither. I'm a giver. It's a promise of God. You're going to take care of this bill. You're going to deal with this thing, and I'm trusting you, Lord. I put my faith in you because faith overcomes the world and all that's in it. Amen. Every day, you must tell yourself, today is the day worth living. God has abundant life for me. Why? Because Christ is in you, and that's your hope. That's your hope. Romans 8:28. We're going to finish with this. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to the purpose, His purpose. How many things work together for good?
All.
Everything is working together for your good to those who trust in Jesus Christ. You should expect goodness to be following you every moment of every day. When the world is fading, when things are failing around you, you're going to be walking in total peace.
Right.
Sleeping like a baby at night.
Amen.
I declare that because some people deal with not sleeping well at night. That's not God's best. The Bible even tells us we should have a restful sleep.
Yeah.
A peaceful sleep. And we know all things work together for good to those who do what? Love God. And those who are called according to His purpose. Every single child of God is called according to His purpose.
Yeah.
And when you walk in that, God's love will take care of everything.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 13 tells us, I believe in verse 8, love never fails.
That's right. Amen.
Never fails. You love God with all your heart and you trust in Him, you'll never fail a day in your life. You'll walk in abundance every day.
Amen.
Every day. I'm not saying you won't have trials, pressures, things come that don't seem favorable. Don't say, why, Lord, is this happening? Say, thank you, Lord, that you're going to take care of it.
That's right.
See the difference?
That's right.
Don't focus on the struggle. Don't focus on the trial. Focus on the one that defeated it.
Yes.
And the one that overcame it.
Amen.
And His name's Jesus, and He loves you. You can bow your head and close your eyes. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this wonderful day that you've made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, I thank you that we can rejoice because you created it just for us. Thank you for this day, Lord God. Thank you for your people today, each and every one of them, online and in person, Lord God. There's no distance in the spirit realm. You're no respecter of person. Each and every person can receive the blessing of God through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. All things are working together for good. In Jesus' name. All things are working together for good in your life. God is doing a work in people's hearts and lives even right now. Even right in this moment, God is working on your behalf. God is shifting things, shifting mindsets. Well, I used to think this way, but the Lord gave me this word or spoke to me, and I'm going to adjust this or I'm going to adjust that. You're falling in line with what God wants for your life. And what's happening is, as He aligns you, it opens you to the blessing of God, to His provision, to His protection, and to His prosperity in your life. Don't live in fear. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. If you're struggling with thoughts, I break that in Jesus' name. Sound mind, steady mind, in Jesus' name. Any fear, I bind and break off that spirit of fear in Jesus' name. No matter what it is, fear of finances, fear of a bad report from the doctor, fear of a marriage that's rocky, fear of a relationship that's on the rocks. Doesn't matter. God knows what you have need of. He loves you. And he's going to make a way when it seems like there's no way. Speak to your people, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your anointing upon each and every person right now. Work in and through them right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you want the prayer of agreement, if the Lord's speaking to you on something, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to make a change. I'm going to stand in faith in this area. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I don't need to know how. I just know my faith is attached to God right now, and I'm going to stand in faith. I want you to come forward and stand at the altar, because that's going to show the enemy that you mean business with God and you're trusting God in this area. You're really standing on the devil's head by coming up to the altar. If you're going through, you're believing God for something. It doesn't have to be negative.